In the last Mishnah, we found these amazing halachas about the difference between cases where you need two separate pourings of the water, shtifa, and where you need mayim shniyim in order to clear off the water that was on your hand. So remember the differences in the cases. If you start off with shiore revias, which means that you're using less than a revias mayim, and the reason that it's kosher is because it originally had been part of revias, and that was called shiore tahara. You only needed to do one of your yadayim, and so you use the shiore tahara for one of your yadayim. That leaves that hand in the same situation as anybody who does a typical netilas yadayim from a revias. I'm going to review these halachas with you because of the fact that they are part of a whole new world and maybe a little bit of review is necessary. So remember that the mayim that are poured onto the yadayim, as opposed to mayim that had been touched by yadayim that are tmeos. If you touched water with yadayim tmeot, absolutely nothing happens to that water. That was the case that we had about the Nachtom, who puts his fingers into the water, takes some out, and pats it onto the top of his new challahs that came out of his oven. In that case, the water is kosher for Netilas Yadayim, despite the fact that it had been touched before by the Stam Yadayim of the Nachtom, right? So that became a halacha lemaisa. We brought that raya. The Rambam paskins that water does not become ruined by your touching it. So tell me something. Why does water become ruined when another guy touches your hands before you dry them? Everybody knows about that. Don't touch my hands, right? Now I'm going to have to redo Netilas Yadayim. Why does the water on one hand become tameh if it's touched by your other hand before you did netila on that water, huh? Go tell me that. So again, as we explained before, the halachas of netilas yadayim are all a gezera of the Rabbanan, a takana that has its own internal rules and that are consistent internally but are not meant to be consistent with any of the standard dinim of Tumah V'Tahirah. And that description of the process of Netilas Yadayim was, we had some machlokas in, which we'll talk about, but that process consisted of taking a revias of water, utilizing that revias for two hands, and any water that would fall off of your hands would be tame. Why? I thought if you touch water, it's not, this is not about touching water. This is about water that had been used for Netilas Yadayim. Water that was used for Netilas Yadayim does become Tameh. And therefore, if it falls onto the ground, let's say, it is going to be Metameh Truma that is going to fall into it. And it's not going to be like that Mayim that the Nachtom washed off his fingers, which had nothing to do with Netilas Yadayim. So not only is that water, when it's used for Netilas Yadayim, Tameh at that point, when it falls off of your hands, but wait. If it falls off of my hand, it's tameh. So how come we said that you could have another person that puts his hands under my hands and still has that one? Because that's part of Netilas Yadayim. That water is not tameh for Netilas Yadayim. It's only tameh post Netilas Yadayim. It's not netameh pre Netilas Yadayim. And it's not netameh while it's Netilas Yadayim. So therefore, if you've got another guy with his hands underneath, his hands will also be tahar, despite the fact that that water fell off of your hands. But once it hits the ground, it's overs. And then if something falls into it, that's going to be makabel tuma, like truma will be makabel tuma from it, right? Weird. So what do you do? What do you do when you've got tame water on your hands in the sense that the moment that something touches it, it's going to be matame your hands? And in the sense that if it touches something else, like the bread that you're about to eat, then that's the equivalent of being matame the ochlin, because remember, we view that bread as being similar to truma in the sense that the whole takana was only made so that Barnea won't forget to do Netilas Yadayim while he eats truma. So therefore, you have to understand that you got to get rid of that water. Well, there's two ways of getting rid of that water. You could dry your hands. That's one perfect way to get rid of that water. But there's another way to get rid of that water. before you even get to the drying process. You take other water, and these are called the mayim shniim, you pour it over that water, and that washes off that water. So you'll say, okay, but now it touched the tummy water, so now it's tummy on your hands, right? Wrong. If it is the mayim shniim, then the water that's on your hands is tar. Now, there would be another issue that this would be nogea. Let's imagine a case where you pour water on your hands, and that water was poured with such force that it actually moves up your arm to go above your wrist. Now that water is water that is post-netilas yadayim. It was on the ground in the sense that it already touched something else. In this case, the ground was your arm, which was above your wrist, right? If that water falls back down onto your hand, then that's the same thing as you're sticking your hand into the water that was post-netilas yadayim. Oh, yavai. What are we going to do then? Then you're going to have to redo your netilas yadayim also, because it's as if somebody else touched your hands and was metame the water. None of this makes sense, you understand? If I pour the water lechatchila over my arm, and now that water comes down on my hand, what's the din? Nothing. It's perfectly kosher water. It's the same as the case of the nachtom. But if it got onto my arm after it splashed on my hands as an act of netilas yadayim, boy, 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 what a mess. Okay, now this is all going to be extremely nogea halacha lamaisa, as we're going to see as we go along. So the only time that we had...
Can Rebbe say that last part again? In other words,
yeah, if you
the regular washing is not a problem if it went back and forth.
Don't put words in my mouth if you want. All of that's wrong. So let's start from the beginning. This is not a dyslexia halacha. This is straightforward. So if the water went on your hands for netilas yadayim, and you put on so much water that it went up and got onto your arm, then the water on your arm is the same as water on the ground that fell on the ground after netilas yadayim. And it's going to be metame truma, and it will be metame your yadayim if it comes back down. But if you pour the water initially on your arm and it comes down on your hand, there's no problem with that because your arm is not a hand. And therefore, it's not called netilat yadayim, it's called netilat arm. And there's no such concept, and therefore, it's not tame. Right? That's what I said. How's that? There's nothing like netilas
yadayim. Doesn't make sense. Yeah, I really don't understand.
Exactly. So what you have to accept is dyslexia. All of the dinim of netilas yadayim are dyslexic because they only.
But Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, it's not an issue.
No. This is a completely different question. Now the machlokas that we had with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, there we're talking about the question of whether you've got a shiore taira. Now, shiore taira is where you're talking about using the leftovers of taira. That's what we were talking about yesterday. So Rabbi Meir said, if you use shiore taira, and it's not a full revius, it's still going to be good enough for one hand. But if you actually use it for two hands, you need to wash with two acts of shtifa, according to Rabbi Meir. Not to be confused with the normal din of mayim shniim. This is a new halacha, that if you're utilizing the concept of shiore taira on the mayim arishonim, then the mayim arishonim for two hands require application twice. And it's not because you need to wash off the original water. It's because since you're using such a small amount of water, we were gozer that you should do it two times. Nothing to do with the din, unless you have a full revius. If you have a full revius,
then you only need to put it on.
If you have a full revius, then you only need to put it on once. Of course, you still need to get rid of it, but you can dry it with a towel.
That's only according to Rabbi Meir, isn't it?
Yes.
If it's a full revius.
You're thinking straight. Lovely. Okay.
Is it called me'ena revius, the two parts less than revius?
No. I never heard such a terminology. Okay, so now let's get into
is that why the minhag is to wash for bread two or three times on each hand?
We'll see. We'll get to that, Alan. But this is definitely part of that reason. Because if we'll find out that if you utilize a complete revias on a hand, a revias is an entity that will not be makabel tumah.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, it's always best to use the complete revias, because then you avoid all of these issues, because they never made any of these takanas on a revias. But we'll get to that.
Because every washing cup holds more than a revias that we use.
Correct. Okay. So now, let's say you first, you were not alas harishoni, lomokam echa. So you're standing in location A, and you make a puddle with your mayim harishonim. Okay. So now, if you're talking about, remember that according to the way Rabbi Yossi learned, even if you use a full revias, forget about shiare revias, you need mayim shniim in order to be metayer the mayim rishonim. Fine. So then, I mean, it wouldn't make any difference in our Mishnah if you use a full revias or if you use shiare tyra. So now, if you want to wash both of your yadayim, so then, if you want to use less than a revias, and you're using shiare revias, you need to wash twice. So let's say in a case like that, you wash the first time in one location, and the second time in a different location. So if you've got a case of mayim shniim that wash off the rishonim, then natalat rishonim lamakom echad, and you've got a little puddle in the ground over here, and then you move over to a mokom acher, and you do the shniim, and you make a little puddle in a mokom acher, then the din is that the first puddle is actually considered to be mayim that came from netilas yadayim, and it would be metame in that case, a shkika shel truma, it would be tame. But even in a case where you were washing the second mayim shniim to be yotze Rabbi Meir's din, it would still be tahar. Because basically, whenever you pour a second time over what was there the first time, that whole, even though again, this makes no sense, but the takana of having mayim shniim, even on libet Rabbi Meir, and even we're over here, it's part of the actual netila, mayim shniim are always viewed as something that ends up being the sof of the tayras yadayim, and it's metayher, whatever mayim rishonim are left on the hands, and it's not, we don't look at how much there was in the mayim rishonim, the entire second puddle is tahor, and it makes no difference, we're going to look at a rove or anything else. So what that means is that by definition, mayim shniim are metaher, even the water that was on your hands and they're now on the floor, everything is tahar, and even if the truma falls into it, it's going to be tahar. And that's not because we have a mixture. It's because the whole thing is defined as mayim shniim, which are taharim. If you had a mixture, how would you have a mixture? You washed both your rishonim and the shniim into the same puddle. So if natalat rishonim ve'et hashniim l'makom echad, and then nafal kikar shel truma, then you have a mixture of mayim tameim, and the mayim tameim are metame the truma. So the truma will be tame in that case. So you see the difference of the concept. If you separate them, the mayim shniim are by definition never considered to be. Doesn't matter what they washed off. They may contain a lot of the mayim rishonim, but they're now all defined as the final tyrus hayadayim. How can it be metame anything if they're in a puddle? But if the first ones fall off, that's part of their definition. Used mayim of the tilas yadayim are tameim, and therefore they will be metame the truma.
And it's not concept of rov.
What? No.
Once a drop falls in, the time is over.
Right. Okay, now, let's imagine a case like this. You pour the water on your hands, and you look at your hands, and you see that there's a little piece of gravel on your hands, which apparently had been in the water, right? So now you're about to use your hands that had been washed properly. You've got your towel in your hands. you're about to walk, dry your hands and eat your bread, forget it. You can't. Why not? Because if nimsa al yadav kisam, let's say you found a little piece of wood that was in the water, or a tsrar that was in the water. So then your mayim, your yadayim are tmeot, because water, even when you poured the second, the mayim shniyim, and you'll say, okay, I mean, there's no problem now, is there? I mean, I washed off all of the water. No, not true. The mayim shniyim are a special takona that water on your hands can become tahar with the mayim shniyim. If you use mayim shniyim to wash out the waters in the puddle, the mayim shniyim simply become ruined, and now the whole thing is metame truma. Well, the water that was on that piece of gravel is never going to become tahar, because that was water that got on the gravel after it was on your hand. And therefore, it's a puddle. It's a puddle on your hand. Now you washed off the puddle on your hand. Puddle, I mean, it's like 1 gram. I don't care how much it is. The point is that that was a puddle, because it was already on something else that had come off of your hand, and the netila. You can never be mitayer that.
And so removing the rock.
Redo your whole netilas yadayim in this case. And yadava tmeot, because of the klal, en amayim ha'achronim itarim el amayim shagabe hayad, and not water that's in puddles or on kisames or on tsroros. These are all totally new concepts, right? So now we understand this abstract idea of a puddle.
Removing the kisem of the tzor before the mayim shniyim doesn't help? From your hand?
Removing the kisem. We're always going to assume that some of it went back. I mean, if theoretically you could get it off without it affecting the yadayim, theoretically you're correct. Mm-hmm. Right. But, I mean, we're always assuming some of it is going to fall on the kisem and then fall from the kisem. I mean, how would you possibly make it? It just falls directly on the kisem and stays there. I mean, it's not really a practical kind of issue.
And I mean, if it's kisem atzra that's on your hand, you remove before you pour the mayim shniyim, that wouldn't do any good.
No, because the water on your hand is water from a puddle. It's not water from your hand. And the whole takana was water on your hand. So now we see like this theoretical, this abstract concept of hands versus puddles become very, very immediate when you're talking about one drop of water that was on a kisem or a tzor that was on your hands. It's like, whoa. Okay. But, says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, now it's different if you found a water bug on your hand that had been in the water. Why? Because water bugs are water, remember? And just like you're able to go to the mikveh in a mikveh full of water bugs, as a matter of fact, you could go to the mikveh even if the only thing in the mikveh is water bugs. They were going to use this for a Batman movie, but they thought it was too horrific. So the din over there is that if you find this water bug on your hand, so koshu mi briyat hamayim, anything that actually comes from the water, so that obviously what this means is that it reproduces in water, but we see it lahalaka as if it's a product of the water, so then it has the din of water. And in that case, it's going to be tahar because there's no puddle. It's all water. It just looks a little buggy. Okay, Rabbosai. This is a very exciting
mikvah. Rebbe explained that to us in Sfat when we had to go to the Ari's mikvah. It's basically.
Right. Yes, that's a very good, at least it used to be. I don't know whether things are as bad as they once were.
No, they changed it.
They changed the whole thing. Oh, it's a normal mikvah now. No. All right. It used to be definitely a segula, they said. They always said it was a segula for doing tshuva. But that's because anytime you can get yourself into a mikvah like that, you've got your last will and testament written before. Okay.
One question.
A meet your maker moment.
If nitilat yadayim is built as a
zikaron. You do it in English.
If nitilat yadayim, when I say nitilat yadayim is a zikaron to tumah v'tahara, surely they should be built on the same principles. Why are we getting into a whole different gezerat halachot that everybody keeps pointing out completely different?
No, it can't be built on tumah v'tahara, really, because the concept of washing hands is totally foreign. How can you be mitayer hands?
We're tummy mace. How can we wash our hands?
The whole thing is crazy. There's no tuma in the Torah that can only affect hands, and there's no tyra in the Torah that can only affect hands, and therefore it's creating this whole new world.
But Rebbe, was this tied to the Gezerah in terms of the consciousness around truma and the Negias and the Gomorrah about
Sure. So it was tied to the Takan of Stam Yadayim. Yeah. Okay, everybody, it's been lots of fun. Bezrat Hashem.